The Source Podcast is brought to you by TechPont, a San Antonio company that uses cutting-edge digital technology to elevate marketing and advertising campaigns while reporting on transparent, measurable results. Their custom-built marketing strategies offer complete digital solutions and management. TechPont strives to help businesses connect with customers and effectively grow businesses. More at TechPonte.com.
Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. At the start of 2019, the South Texas Blood and Tissue Center reported dangerously low levels of donated blood, and during the summer months, blood supplies can dip even lower. Donations decreased by about 20%. Having a well-stocked blood library, blood bank here in San Antonio, is essential for our emergency services, and everyone who is a blood donor, thank you so much for doing your part. If you got a question or a comment about becoming a blood donor, the number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. What's keeping you from becoming a donor? We're now joined with Elizabeth Waltman. She is the COO of the South Texas Blood and Tissue Center, and Dr. C.J. Winkler? And he is the assistant clinical professor at UT Health San Antonio's Department of Emergency Health Services and Emergency Medicine, deputy medical director at the San Antonio Fire Department. Welcome to The Source. It's great to have you here today.
Thank you.
So when we hear that the supplies are low, how low can it go, Elizabeth?
Well, we don't want it to go low at all, because the need for blood is ongoing and constant, and it's an everyday occurrence. You know, when we think about how much blood is needed, I think people usually think about trauma. And we're very lucky here in the South Texas region to have a wonderful collaboration between South Texas, between the fire department and STRAC, UT Health and University Health System, to have what we call our whole blood program, which addresses blood, having blood available at the site of the trauma. But blood is also needed every day, on the hour, every minute, it seems like, for those non-emergency events. So think about people that are undergoing cancer treatment. They need blood and platelets in order to sustain them as they're going through their chemotherapy. Think about women who are having babies that may need blood as a result of their delivery. Think about people who are undergoing all kinds of surgeries that might need blood because of that surgery. Burn victims. Even folks that have sickle cell. Individuals that have sickle cell, they may need blood on a weekly basis for their entire life. And that blood has to come from volunteer blood donors. The blood that's available in our community is from volunteers, non-paid donors. And if the individuals don't step up to donate, then downstream that blood isn't available for individuals that need it in order to stay alive or sustain themselves.
And Dr. Winkler, can you talk a little bit about how having a solid blood supply, reliable, sustainable blood supply is an essential part of having an emergency medical services here in Bexar County?
Yeah, so...
Because you never know when you're going to get in an accident.
Exactly. First and foremost is that as far as blood being available pre-hospital, that's not normal. That's not normal. We are the only metropolitan city in America that has whole blood available in the pre-hospital setting. Only because of the last two wars and the conflicts, we have the technological capability to deploy blood on an ambulance in 105-degree Texas weather to a patient that's in a car wreck. So it's surprising for most people to hear that we are actually only the third city in America to have blood, October 1st, 2018, to have blood available on a ground ambulance. Helicopters have had blood a little longer, but this all happened because we have a great blood bank partner in South Texas Blood and Tissue Center, who built an entire new service line. Just think that if they had been building Jeeps for the last 20 years, now they built a pickup in their Jeep factory, and that's whole blood. And they built it specifically to deploy to the helicopters and ambulances in this region. So that entire new service line called Brothers in Arms takes a near universal blood donor and gives it to anybody pre-hospital in this area, in this city, that needs blood. Now, through STRAC, through UT Health, we've been able to give it to counties like Wilson County that serves Sutherland Springs, We've been able to give it to District 7. District 2 will be coming online, Karnes County. So all these EMS systems around here that have blood, that's not normal for the rest of the country. As a matter of fact,
we're above normal.
We are the only, besides two cities in Cypress Creek EMS and ESD 48 in Houston that have carried blood since 2017, the fall, the only ones to have low titer O positive whole blood pre-hospital. That's not just above, that's light years ahead.
So that saves lives.
It saves lives. It's so special to us that we have multiple other EMS and fire departments, FDNY, Seattle, Austin, Travis County EMS, many, Lincoln, Nebraska, the state of Maryland, actually is asking us how we do it, how we deploy whole blood pre-hospital. And it's a large process from front end to back end, but you need a good blood bank to get that done.
So you can't do that without a donor.
You cannot do that without a donor. Exactly. And that's the Brothers in Arms program.
And people who will go to the blood bank or show up at blood drives and participate in that. Let me go to a caller. The number is 210-614-8980. If you want to join our conversation. And Frank, hi, Frank. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
And I always wondered why people that can't be certified say they're in good health and they have a good income, why they can't reimburse them a little bit for their expenses to take off and to drive down there and donate blood. Seems like that would solve some of the problems.
All right, Frank. So why aren't people paid to donate blood? I know that when I've donated blood in the past, I've been paid in pizza, you know, and maybe orange juice, and maybe if I'm lucky, a HEB gift card or a card from a Whataburger or something like that.
I think that in the United States, I would say 99% of all the blood comes from volunteer blood donors that aren't paid. That started in the mid-70s because people were giving blood and they were getting paid, and they weren't necessarily telling the truth when they went through the interview process because they wanted the money at the end of the process. Now, one of the things that...
So it incentivizes some behavior that we'd probably not want to have.
Right. Today, we have... testing in place that I believe would negate a lot of that. However, there is a window period between the time the person donates and the time that they become infected with. Let's say someone became infected with hepatitis C, and they came in 2 days later to donate blood. There's not a test available right now that's that sensitive or specific that could pick up the virus during that window period. But it may be enough of a viral load that when it's transfused to a person that the person would get hepatitis C from that transfusion. So what we try to do is say, we appeal to individuals as, you know, this is one of the most American acts you can do, is donate blood to support your fellow man. And that you do it because you want to help somebody. And then on the back end of it, we do provide, like right now we have Valero gift cards, we have t-shirts, sometimes we have gift cards to go to like Whataburger or Bill Miller or something like that.
So it's a community.
It's a community support mechanism.
Right, and also I can imagine if we're paying people to give blood or if there are people who are selling their blood in that manner, then it could become that we're exploiting the poor in a way that it's unsavory for the
way
that
we... It could actually be seen that way, yes.
And that's not probably a good way to go. So instead, you appeal to people's, like, this is a common good. We need to... And generally, it works, right?
Generally, it does. On a daily basis, we need about 400 donations. And we're hovering a little bit under that right now. And as we go into the summer months, if that donation level should drop, you ask, how low can it go? When it drops below 400, and we have, I would say, a very busy weekend on the EMS side where there's a number of traumas, whether it's auto accidents or it's violent crime or whatever, that we may not have that ability for a surge capacity. When you think about our communities today, the world that we live in today is very different than the world that we lived in 10, 15, 20 years ago. Just for example, last year there were over 400 mass shootings in the United States. 400 mass shootings. Now, some of those were newsworthy on a national level, and some of them weren't. But what it did to the community blood supply in order to support those mass shootings is that surge supply that I'm talking about. What do we have on the shelves that when, like if there was something like in Las Vegas, where 454 casualties in less than an hour all start hitting the hospitals at the same time, that blood supply is going to be eradicated very, very quickly. So we need people to donate. If we got 450 donations a day or 500 donations a day, then our ability to surge would not be questioned. It would be there.
And right this now, is the South Texas Blood and Tissue Center. So what is the area that you serve?
So we serve 48 counties currently, which includes, if you drew a line from San Marcos all the way to Kerrville and then went south over towards Uvalde, down into Laredo area, and then come back around, we do serve some of the Rio Grande Valley. The Corpus Christi area is served by a blood center locally there, so we don't provide blood to that area. But then you come up the coastline in Victoria and then back over towards—
It's a huge area.
It's a huge area, 48 counties, yes.
But how do you work with other blood centers? Y'all trade back and forth if there's need? If we have a catastrophe, they've got blood.
Absolutely. Blood centers have been helping each other out since the Second World War. And so when a blood center needs blood, we reach out to other blood centers. Right now, what we're seeing is we're already seeing blood centers in the United States rationing blood to hospitals, which means that they're triaging every single call that comes in. We don't want that to happen here in South Texas. We want our hospitals to call us and us say, the blood is on the way. We don't want to have to say, well, we can only send part of it, or what's this for? Is it a stat? Is it a trauma? We want to be able to say, you need it, we've got it, we're sending it.
Have you ever given blood? What was that process like? What's keeping you from donating blood? It doesn't take a whole lot of time. It's pretty much a painless situation. It's not that bad. Why don't you do it? The number to call in is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. The source continues right after this.
Immigration.
I think we need to all get in before the wall goes up.
Health.
The Promotora, they have all the resources that can get them the help that they need.
Art.
There's this kind of subversiveness to it, right?
We cover all these topics and more on Fronteras as we examine issues along the border and beyond. I'm Norma Martinez. Download Fronteras where you find your favorite podcasts.
Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. With me in the studio, Elizabeth Waltman, the COO of the South Texas Blood and Tissue Center, and Dr. C.J. Winkler. He is the Assistant Clinical Professor at UT Health San Antonio Department of Emergency Health Services, and he is also with the San Antonio Fire Department. Are you a fireman?
So, no, I'm not a fireman. I am a paramedic. I was a paramedic I even have a little tiny pension I could buy some cat food with. So I was, for 10 years, I was a paramedic in Austin Travis County EMS area, and then for Austin Travis County EMS, and then I went to med school.
But you've seen firsthand how blood has saved people's lives in the field.
Absolutely. So I said earlier that we're doing something that no one else does in the country. No metropolitan city does what we do here, and that's give blood to patients that need it, medical or trauma patients in hemorrhagic shock. And on January 30th, we had Tiffany Kieschnick Rivas had a car wreck. She was pinned in her car, and she was bleeding out slowly with the splenic lack. So her spleen had a tear. She was trapped in the vehicle. We couldn't get her out right away. This happened way out west on Gulm Road, kind of out by Government Canyon. And it was, of course, traffic time and et cetera, et cetera. But the ambulance that responded to her is a spec ops ambulance that has blood. We were in the car with her. She was talking to us. She stopped talking. She had the glazed over look, and she stopped breathing. And we used some special pneumatic equipment, hydraulic tools to pull her out of the vehicle. We gave her blood. We put a breathing tube in her. We put a special chest compression device on her. That all happened, 500 mils of whole blood within under 4 minutes, and she got a pulse back and came back to life. And then because of this Brothers in Arms program and STRAC and all the helicopters in the region, the helicopter that was called there also had 500 mils a unit of whole blood from South Texas Blood and Tissue Center. So she got a liter of blood. She got to the hospital, and she didn't go to surgery. She actually had a special procedure where she just had basically a fancy IV intra-arterial device that went in and stopped the bleeding in her spleen. And she's alive today. She has two children. She's alive today. That's something that without this program, we wouldn't have been able to save her life before October 1st, 2018.
So think about all the components that had to come into play so we could save this young mother's life, that, you know, we had the infrastructure of our medical services, we had the training, we had the equipment, and we had the blood.
We did. And I should say San Antonio Medical Foundation was a big part of that as well. They were just altruistic, made the program happen with South Texas Blood and Tissue Center, Dr. Don Jenkins, and all the other partners, STRAC, San Antonio Fire Department, all that came together. And that was a lot of collaboration that made that happen.
You know, but I think about somebody who went in one day, sat down in the chair, and they rolled up their sleeve, and they put the hose on her arm to get, and then they took out the blood, yeah. And that ended up saving. They don't see the connection, but it's there.
We actually know who that is, and he will be at the survivor. He's a school teacher in San Antonio. We know who that is. We'll let you know. If you want to know, we will let you know who it was, who donated and who was saved.
So he was a lifesaver.
Yeah. He's a lifesaver, and he's a school teacher. I mean, this a hero times two at least.
And speaking of school teachers, so in this education bill that was signed recently and passed in the legislature, a lot of people talk about, and there's a lot of good things in this bill, but there's one thing that's in there that a lot of people aren't aware of. There's this bleed out kit situation.
Stop the bleed.
Stop the bleed. What is that?
So, again, going back to the military. So these last two conflicts, we learned that seems rather intuitive, but at the point of injury, you need to stop the bleed. With a tourniquet, with pressure, whatever. We also learned from the military that you need to put the blood back in. So the stop the bleed is a very simple, cost-effective way. It's just like an AED. You're bleeding out, you stop the bleed. I mean, obviously with over 400 incidents of active shooters last year, these are the times, and this is the tool. And I wish it wasn't that way, but that's exactly
sure.
what
it was,
we have.
A lot of people talk about arming teachers and all this other kind of stuff. Well, let's also give them something else. Yes. Let's give them a way to save lives.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I, this is the stop the bleed and then the potential to give the blood on the EMS side. This is what's necessary. This is the best practice.
210-614-8980 as we're talking about the blood donations here in San Antonio and how they go to the South Texas Blood and Tissue Center and how you can do your part. George is on the line. George, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes. In my youth, I gave blood quite a bit. I even sold it a little bit when I was in college and then graduated and began giving. And then I lived overseas in England for about 6 months or about a year. In the 80s, and now I'm prohibited from giving blood. And I was wondering if there was a way around that or if that's going to expire.
All right, George, thank you for that. Elizabeth Waltman?
Sure. So, George, thank you for that question. So that has to do with what they call new variant CJD. So there is it's even smaller than a virus that was transmitted through eating tainted beef while overseas.
Like that mad cow stuff?
Mad cow disease, yes. And so right now there's not any way to get around it. However, there is something on the horizon, and I wish I could talk a little bit more in detail about it, but there are a number of researchers that believe they have found something to identify that, because right now the only way you can identify it is through autopsy, for sure. And so we don't want to do autopsies on people because it's afterwards, right? And so we are looking into that, and hopefully I would say in the next few years we will have a way around that. But right now, if you lived overseas during a very specific time in a very specific place, then you will be, I would say, indefinitely deferred rather than permanently.
So the blood bank, as much as you need blood, you have to be very discerning in who you accept blood from.
Right, because once the transfusion is given, and hopefully the person recovers from whatever situation they're in, we want them to be healthy going forward and not have to deal with transfusible diseases that can be prevented through testing and adequate question and answering.
All right, another caller, Fernando. Fernando, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hello. I was just curious. I am a frequent blood donor through the San Antonio area, and I am interested in doing Brothers in Arms, but since I'm always working, I cannot come in for that additional screening, even though they tell me that I am eligible. I just wondered why do I need an additional screening and questioning before I can be Brothers in Arms when I'm already told by the staff there that I am more than qualified?
Okay.
I'm not sure. Generally, when someone donates blood, so Brothers in Arms, individuals that are eligible to become part of the Brothers in Arms.
And it can be sisters too, right?
They can be women. Right now, we're not taking women for this program, and that's because of a special antigen antibody that women carry in their plasma if they've ever been pregnant before. So we're just using men at this time.
Okay.
But for men that are type O positive, essentially that's the first line of eligibility to be in the Brothers in Arms program. We would need for you to come in and donate a unit of blood so that we can test the blood to make sure that the antigen level or the antibody level in the blood is low enough so that it won't cause problems in that whole blood transmission or transfusion. So that may be what they're talking about. You're already an O positive. But we would need for you to come in and donate so we can test for that antigen level and make sure the antibody level, sorry, I keep saying antigen, the antibody level in the plasma to make sure that it's low enough. So that might be the additional testing that they're talking about.
And that makes sense since this is a near universal donor.
Right.
You don't have time to cross match in a hospital. You're in the car, in the ditch, on the side of the Texas road. You have to make sure that blood completely has the low titer antibody level. You have to make sure that every single part of the blood is good to go. So that it does make sense that the recipient of blood is not going to be cross-matched like in a hospital.
Yeah.
So, Elizabeth Waltman, how long should it take me to give blood? If I haven't given blood before and I go show up without making an appointment, that's the way we are here in San Antonio. I go to the South Texas Blood and Tissue Center, or I go to a blood bank, a blood donor van or whatever. How long does it take?
So the process from start to finish for whole blood, if you've never donated before, you should plan for at least an hour to stay with us for at least an hour. If you haven't made an appointment and there are people in front of you that have made an appointment, then you're going to wait. You won't be able to walk in immediately. But I should say, plan to spend an hour with us. Before you show up, make sure that that you're well hydrated, that you've had something to eat, that you feel good. We have people come in that, I'm not feeling really well. Well, if you're not feeling really well, then today is not the day for you to donate. But you feel well, make sure you're well hydrated, eat a good meal, come in and see us, plan to spend about an hour.
Now, if I do a lot of running or I work out or whatever, should I fit that into my training, Doc?
So, with a cell phone, I can do my lunch break is when I go in to donate blood, and I get a chance to catch up on those 100 emails a day. So I just left hand, I'm checking my emails, right hand, I'm giving
still
blood.
Still be productive.
You can still be productive. Not everyone has that kind of job, I understand. But
if I go to the gym, and do I want to give blood before I go? But if I go after, I'll be dehydrated, or how does that?
Well, I think that if you just went for ran a marathon, you probably wouldn't want to donate blood. You want to keep that blood in your body. Having run this last marathon, I needed every ounce of oxygen I could get. So if you did some hard exercise, I'd give it a few hours. But the city has been great as far as blood drives, and I'd like to say San Antonio Fire Department encourages and rewards and gives time off for their firefighters to donate.
Yeah. And blood drives are happening around San Antonio. People are organizing them. You can find them on social media. in order to go and see how you can get involved and become a donor.
Right. Go to southtexasblood.org. There's a button there that says donate. You can find out about blood drives in your area. You can find out about the criteria for donating blood, the hours of operation of our fixed sites. We have over 3,000 blood drives every year. So, you know, think about it. You can save a life with an hour of your time. How else can you make that kind of impact on somebody else's life?
Elizabeth Waltman is the COO of the South Texas Blood and Tissue Center. Dr. C.J. Winkler is the Assistant Clinical Professor at UT Health San Antonio's Departments of Emergency Health Services. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for tuning us in.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies, produced by Kim Johnson and Dallas Williams. Direction provided by News Director Dan Katz. Technical assistance provided by Ruben Garcia. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.